Yes, we are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. John Wall doesn't need no introduction. It's an insider's look at the NBA and culture surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick of the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you thought on the future of TikTok. Will Congress ban it, or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album win Album of the Year? Will Biden's approval rating go up? Will it go down? Or inflation? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. You're smart. You know things. Bet on it. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/stereo. Spelled K-A-L-S-H-I and deposit $50. Kalshi.com/stereo. Get in the game. There is no guarantee of performance. An investor could lose their entire investment. Investment fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up? This is Michael Rappaport, a.k.a. Mr. New York, and you are now listening to the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast. This is an emergency podcast breaking down every single thing that happened on the now infamous American Airlines Flight 1653. American Airlines Flight 1653. I'll be breaking it down with G. Moody. Last name rhymes with duty in emergency fashion. And I got to say, unless you've been living under a fucking rock, you've heard about what happened. It was crazy. It was scary. I'm a hero, okay? I'm a fucking hero. Am I a humble hero? Fuck no. Am I a shy hero? Hell to the no. Am I a reluctant hero? Get the fuck out of here. I'm not a reluctant hero. I'm not a bashful hero. I am a shit-talking, disruptive, potentially obnoxious hero, and that's okay. I'm not the hero you asked for, but I am the only hero you got. You fuck you. What a whirlwind. What a whirlwind it has been since Flight 1653 from Houston, Texas to LAX. We'll be breaking it all down. But since the flight, I got to tell you, there's been a few hero haters out there. That's fine. That comes with the territory. I've been hit up by all the news outlets. That's a fucking fact. Okay? That's a fact. But I'm going to break it down with G. Moody. Last name rhymes with Dewey. As the great Chuck D said, as the great Chuck D from Public Enemy once said, most of my heroes don't appear on no stamps. And of course, I don't appear on any stamps yet. But who knows what the future holds? They're talking ticker tape parades. They're talking keys to the city. But nobody knows actually what city we were flying above, when the incident on Flight 1653 went down. I have been given so many different nicknames. I do not know which one is best. They're calling me Captain Colitis. They are calling me Air Marshal Mike. They think I should come up with a company called Rappaport Security. And one of the people, then the people's favorite is Michael Rappaport Authority. You get it? Michael Rappaport Authority. It's all fun and games. I got 2 cups of free coffee. That's a fact. Today, 2 free cups of coffee at 2 different establishments. I never got a free cup of coffee in my fucking life. If they pay full price, I have no problem with it. Today, 1 day, 2 free cups of coffee, and the day hasn't even really begun. Okay, maybe I shouldn't be drinking that much coffee, but it is what it is. I'm going to continue to accept all free cups of coffee. If I'm walking through the streets of New York, you want to give me a free slice? I'll take it. Again, I am not a humble hero. I am not a shy hero. I am not a reluctant hero. I am going to soak this up until the fucking cows come home. My name is Michael Rappaport, a.k.a. Mr. New York, a.k.a. Captain Colitis, a.k.a. Air Marshal Mike. You are now listening to an emergency I Am Rappaport stereo podcast. Miles, Jordan, let me get something funky so I can break this down in detail with G Moody. Last name rhymes with duty. And I'm also going to discuss the 30th anniversary of the great Big Daddy Kane's first album, Long Live the Kane. Let's get something funky. Let's get it going. This is the I Am Rappaport stereo podcast. The I Am Rappaport stereo podcast world tour is real. Thursday, July 26th in Toronto. Saturday, August 4th in New York City. Saturday, August 18th in Houston, Texas. Wednesday, August 22nd in fucking Philadelphia, Pennsylvania at Union Transfer. I cannot wait to play Philly. And Saturday, the 25th of August in Boston, Massachusetts. We're coming out there, Brady. August 25th, I Am Rappaport Tour. You could get tickets, www.iamrappaporttour.com. Come see me, G Moody, and you know we're always going to have special guests all summer long, iamrappaporttour.com. All right, this is not a test. This is not a test. This is an actual emergency podcast, exclusive, coming live and direct from Los Angeles, California. My name is Michael Rappaport, a.k.a. the White Wesley Snipes. That's right. They're calling me the White Wesley Snipes. I'm here with G Moody, the Black Ed McMahon. Coincidentally, it's the White Wesley Snipes and the Black Ed McMahon coming live and direct exclusively on the I Am Rappaport stereo podcast. And if I sound a little tired or not like my complete self, that's because I am a little tired and not like my complete self. We should just jump into it, right, Mr. Moody?
Yeah, man. Let me interview you.
Well, I understand that because who doesn't want to interview a hero?
Take us through it.
All right. So if you haven't heard about this already, I was coming back from Houston. Of course, I was there Friday night for the Big Three and the games where I have to say, I think those were the best 4 games ever. Nate Robinson, Big Baby Davis are tremendous additions to the league. They brought a lot of energy to their games. Nate Robinson was the star of the night. It was a crazy, crazy game. Him and Rashad McCants got into it, yada, yada, yada. It was great. The Big Three was great. We finished the games around 10 p.m. Houston time, and I had a 7 a.m. flight back to Los Angeles. So I got to the airport. It was a couple of Fox people. Me and my man Mike Hill, who's one of the broadcasters, we got some coffee, and then we ran into some other Fox guys, and then we ran into my man Ryan Hollins, who used to play over at UCLA, NBA duties, part of the Big Three. Ran into some Fox dudes. Anyway, it was early in the morning. No one was really talking. Tired as shit. Big Baby Davis got on the plane. Baron Davis got on the plane. We were in first class. It was one of these first class seats.
Oh.
Sections. It was the first class sections that only has four. Four in a row. So it was eight people in first class. Six of us were Big Three dudes. One of the mm-hmm. producers was sitting next to me, and everybody was tired. It was just a regular flight. And the seat couldn't recline. I had my headphones in. I knew I wasn't going to be able to sleep. Baron Davis was out as soon as the flight took off. Big Baby was out. Mike Hill and Ryan Hollins were also out. Ryan Hollins is 7 feet tall, okay? If right. you don't know, he's a basketball. He's 7 feet tall. He was sitting right there. And about an hour into the flight, I have my headphones, and the guy next to me, who was out the whole time, he wakes up and kind of jerks forward in his seat. And then he taps me. He's like, rap, rap. And I just looked, like, from where I was sitting in first class, I could see the exit door a little bit. I could see the bathroom, and I see, like, a guy's back, like, kind of jerking at the door, at the fucking plane door. So, I mean, I got up. The whole thing happened so quick. I got up out of my seat, half sleeping, with my headphones in my ear, and put my hand on his shoulder. I was like, yo, what the fuck are you doing? He had two hands on the lever.
Oh, man. Damn.
And the question that I've gotten asked by I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast fans the most so far about this online, and I'll answer this collectively, was that when I first said, what the fuck are you doing, did I do it in the Danny Aiello voice? and I have to say, unfortunately, I didn't do the first what the fuck are you doing in a Danny Aiello voice, because it was so surreal. Like, it was such a surreal thing. So I said, what the fuck are you doing?
Right.
But it wasn't even that effect. It was like this, and it was loud. It was definitely loud. I said, what the fuck are you doing?
Right.
What the fuck are you doing? I said it three times, but like I was like, you know, like loud. And the second time I said it, he still had his hand on the fucking thing.
Damn. Man.
And I'm like, you're half asleep and you're seeing this, and you're like in your head all this, you're like, is this fucking happening? Like, am I bugging?
Right.
And I grabbed the guy by the shoulder, and I like kind of like, I didn't, it wasn't like, you know, you're still like, should I be, like, you know, you're by a door, you're like, what the, this is crazy. And,
yeah.
And he was little, and I like, you know, not pushed him, but sort of pinned him against the seat thing. And then I said, what the fuck are you doing? I mean, this is happening all in about 45 seconds. I hear like crashing and shit. Baron Davis, from what I found out, woke up from a dead sleep. He's about it. He was by the window sleeping, and they had already started serving breakfast. He just, I don't know how he got out of his seat. He knocked down the guy's shit. The shit broke. Like, the guy sitting next to him in the aisle, he was like right behind me. He like put his hands on the guy. Then the flight attendants, who were not there for some reason, they all got up there. And then my man Ted from Fox came from Coach. A couple other people came from Coach. Big Baby Davis got up. I mean, it was like the wrong plane to be fucking around with. My man Ryan got up. He's 7 feet tall. It was like goons on the plane.
Yeah.
And one of Ice Cube's like door size security dude to work, he was on the plane, but he was in the way, way, way back of the plane. And like, you know, then the flight attendants were like, grab the guy, and they were like, what are you doing? And he, like, the guy seemed to be out of it, like, because he wasn't apologizing, and he was like gesturing, like, he was like, he didn't speak English. Apparently, it turns out he was Vietnamese. And, you know, they sat him down. They put him in the bathroom for a second.
Yeah.
And then that lasted about, I don't know, 2 minutes, and we were all like, what the fuck happened? Like, your adrenaline's rushing. Like, Baron's like, what the fuck happened? And we're all like, what the fuck? And I'm like shaking at this point. Like, I'm like, yo, I'm like bugging. Like, I'm like, yo, did this shit just happen?
That shit is, yo, man, you so lucky, man, because what if you would have came up on him and the door, he would have got the door open, you'd have been sucked out of there. Yo. That is, yo, you should have snuffed money, man.
I didn't know what to do. It's crazy because, well, the guy was so little, like when I put my hands on him, like he was a small guy.
Right.
And he wasn't like resisting me, which was weird, but he kept going at the door.
Oh, make your money. Get the fuck away from this door, man. Get the fuck out of here, man. That's crazy, man.
It was crazy. And then they sat him in his seat and we were all like, yo. And like the guy sitting next to me, like he told me he was around the door and I'm like half asleep and I'm looking like, why is he there? And then he started going to the door and that's when he woke me up. And listen, some of the quotes that they said about me, I'm not the hero that you asked for, but I'm the hero that you got. I've been called the common man who does uncommon things.
Yeah.
Rumor has it, now I'm not going to confirm or deny this, Moody, but they're talking statues. A lot of things are being discussed right now. But, you know, it took us all about a half an hour to, like, calm down. I couldn't sleep. I could fuck. Like, every time, like, the steward, like, I was, like, jumpy as fuck. And I was also tired. Like, my adrenaline, like, I stayed up the rest of the flight, which I felt like 2 hours, an hour and a half. You know, and then the captain came out, and he asked me what happened, and, like, we told him what happened, And then I have to say, again, I hate to brag, but this is the I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast, and I feel like I'm talking to my family here.
Yeah.
They everyone thanked me. Everyone did say that I was I was brave and I was heroic. I'm not bragging. I consider myself a common man who does uncommon things. But then when the plane landed, people were thanking me. And the H word was being thrown around, Gerald.
Yes, I read that. And you did a good thing. Yo, you showed the world that, yo, the passengers, we're responsible. Let the pilot fly. He don't got to worry about this shit. Anybody go to the door, you see it, you get up, you drag him away from the door and beat his ass if you have to let motherfuckers know you're not taking my life because you want some Xanax or some crazy shit. Listen, you did the right thing. They should sponsor. What airline was that? They should sponsor our whole shit, man.
American Airlines.
Yo, you potentially saved that whole aircraft.
Listen, it was
true.
Fucking scary shit. Like, I've never been in a situation like that. It was so quick, but that shit was, we were all freaked out.
Yo, let's say, like, hypothetically, you walk up to him, and at the time you walk up to him, he gets the door open. Yo, all that shit, you getting sucked out of here. Life over. Yo, way to handle it. Way to be fucking, have presence of mind and not just look. So this is tell other people on planes, yo, when you see some wild shit, just don't look.
No.
Don't worry about the stewardesses. Let them serve the drinks. You go handle that shit, man.
And in all seriousness, we've talked about the unfriendly skies since last year this time when we flew to Austin. And those incidents started happening, and, you know, we made jokes about it. We talked about warming up on the plane before you get on the plane and all the stretching. I think because of that, like, as soon as I saw it, like, it was like, there's no talking.
Yeah, yeah. Split seconds.
Yo, it was split seconds. And I will say this. Baron Davis, I haven't seen him make that face that he made that I saw on his face since he dunked on Andre Kirilenko when he played with the Warriors. No bullshit. Yo, he woke up from a dead fucking sleep.
Yo.
Like, dead ass. Like, he had a pillow. And I'm not talking about an airplane pillow. Baron Davis had a pillow. And he was out. And then Big Baby Dave. Luckily, I'm just going to say this right now. Luckily, Big Baby Davis didn't get to him before I did. Because he's on some other shit. He would have literally eaten that motherfucker. And, like, you can't stop, baby.
Yo, anybody in the sound of my voice that even thinks about going for that cockpit door or the other door, yo, as a passenger, I have every right to rip your ass from limb to limb because my life, you can't play with my life. I got daughters, you got kids. Fucking, what you doing at that door, man? Get the fuck up. Yo, way to go, rap. All Baron Davis with the South Central sensibilities. Big Baby Davis, all them dudes, man. But you did it. You saw it, and you went right away. Because if you didn't, money would have probably got that shit open.
Yeah, 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 I think so. And you know, when we landed, we had to wait at the gate for 20 minutes. The security came, and I don't know who they were. They asked me a question. I kept it moving. They had all my information. I kept it moving. We got off. We were just still jittery. And it was what it was. And I have to say, my heroic acts and being dubbed the White Wesley Snipes, it made me think about Stallone in Rambo. You know, he was just a common man, and he he's just like, I'm a guy. And he's like, you know, I'm in. I imagined if Rambo, Rambo Rappaport had to deal with the press, because this is again no bullshit, because I'm talking to us, the fans, and you guys, I am Rappaport Stereo Podcast fans. You know, like, especially the premium guys who are hearing this first. You guys, to me, like, no bullshit. I've gotten phone calls from different press people and all that shit. I was like, if we're gonna save this for anybody, this has to go to our premium people.
Yeah.
So this is the first I'm explaining the story. But if Rambo was explaining the story, or a version of Rambo was explaining the story, I think he would say something like this: "I'm just a man. You know, I'm a man who minds his business. I live a regular life and a quiet life. But I didn't want any of this. I didn't choose any of this. Just a guy. I don't like talking much. I mean, I gotta say, one thing I will say is things ain't been the same since we got back from Shanghai. It's, you know, sometimes I think I hear Johnny talking to me."
Wait, who the fuck is John?
"Yeah, sometimes I think I hear him talking to me, Johnny. Yeah, Johnny was my platoon mate. He was a great man. I never met anyone like Johnny. It was me and Johnny in the bush. It was me and Johnny in the bush. I came home, Johnny didn't. When I came back from Shanghai, I came back, Johnny didn't. Nobody called me a hero then. Call me a hero now. I ain't your hero. My life stinks. This whole town stinks." Talking about heroes, everybody's asking me why I did what I did. I did what I had to do. I did what I was trained to do. I did what Johnny would have done. I did what Johnny would have done.
Again, who the fuck is Johnny?
Johnny was a hero. He was a real hero. All you maggots calling me, asking me questions, you don't know what it's like. You don't know what it's like where I came from. I hear his voice sometime. Everybody's asking me questions. You want a piece of me? You want a piece of my soul? Come on and take it. Take what's left of it, that is. Well, my soul, rip it out. Rip my soul out. In the field, we had honor. Back here, we got nothing. I got nothing. I ain't got nothing. I ain't got Johnny. I got nothing. Where's Johnny, man? I don't want to talk to you people no more." So that's how I envisioned the press conference.
All right, let's talk about the Vietnamese cat. What did he have to say for himself? Did he have anything to say after the plane landed? Did he say anything like, "Yo, pardon me"? What happened?
I got to be honest, the thing that bugged me out was that he wasn't
coherent.
No, he wasn't like apologizing. Like when he got dudes yelling at him. Now, like I said, I didn't do it in the Aiello voice. I did it in my voice, in my half sleeping and genuinely scared voice. Now, some people said to me, fans of the I Am Rappaport Stereo Podcast, aside from Rambo, what would have Aiello said? "What the fuck are you doing? Get your fucking hands off the fucking door. Get the fuck..." And Aiello would have cold cocked him. "I'll break your fucking head. Hit him over the head with a fucking glass. Stomp his fucking head out, Baron."
Yeah.
"Buster, lock that cocksucker in the bathroom. Baby, get the fucking duct tape. Don't let him go. Duct tape him to the fucking seat. Could you imagine if ILO would have been on the plane?
Oh, man. Yo, homeboy was for self. He didn't have his wife.
He was for self. He was by himself. He was there by himself. And money was on some bullshit, man.
Yeah.
And you know, we've been talking about, of course, we now have to do the best of the unfriendly skies. We have been talking about the unfriendly skies and flying, and no bullshit, just like we said. If you're not flying coast to coast, and this was a long flight, but it was Houston to LAX. If you are not flying coast to coast, that is when all this bullshit starts. That's when all this bullshit happens. It's always a man on a plane from Ohio to Phoenix. It's always a man on a plane from Florida to Georgia. It's always Alabama to Tulsa. It's never that East Coast, West Coast flight that it seems to happen. And I don't wish it on anybody scared the shit out of me. But we have been talking about the unfriendly skies. And it's crazy because just the other day I was talking about how TSA died and how TSA was a shit show.
You're right. Right. Yo, and they should change. The captain should come out and make his announcement before the flight leaves and be like, yo, the doors are over here, blah, blah, blah. If any one of y'all get up and try to go at one of these doors, I have deputized all the passengers to whoop your ass, and then we'll tend to you when we land. But if you're taking a risk, because I got all these people to come rip you from limb to limb, because I can't see what's going on.
And now that we're doing the I Am Rappaport Stereo podcast tour, we're flying all summer, it's going to change the dynamic of those flights. Because when you see me on the plane now, first of all, salute me, Duke.
Yeah.
Salute me, Duke. I want that respect. Fuck that. I want my motherfucking respect. Okay, people making fun of me because I'm scared of coyotes and scared of cats. What's Gucci? You see how I get down.
Yeah, I see.
What's Gucci? And
I'm getting on behind you, chest naked, just to let motherfuckers know this is how I'm flying on the plane, B.
Yo, you got to do it.
Yeah, because they don't go to the door if you look crazy. They're like, yo, he's going to come. He's going to get me. You got to go on the plane looking menacing.
Yes. We got to grease up before we get on the plane. We've been saying this for a year, and it's just crazy that it culminated with this.
Yep. Kimbo Slice. I'm going to have that outfit.
Yup. The outfit where it's jeans and no shirt.
Yup.
And you should get a mouthpiece.
Yup. And a do-rag, a red do-rag, and I'm going to let my chest hair grow.
Yeah, let it grow. And grease that shit up nice, but don't groom it. Just grease it.
Yeah. Let it nap up.
So anyway, that happened. That's totally real. Thank God we're safe. It was crazy. Something that none of us will never forget. And since we're doing an emergency podcast, I just wanted to do a quick discussion. One of the great hip-hop albums of all time, a game-changing hip-hop album, game-changing a record by a game-changing MC, who I believe was 19 at the time that he put it out, Long Live the Kane by the Hall of Fame, needs no introduction. Big Daddy Kane turned 30 years old the other day. 30 years old since Long Live the Kane came out. And I'll just riff on this. And I know Moody, have a lot to say about this. Because I know personally, I share memories of you and me watching Video Music Box and watching that Ain't No Half Steppin' video in my father's crib. Watching it and like catching it, like, you know, sometimes you'd catch it midway through, sometimes you'd catch it all the way through, you'd catch it on Yo MTV Raps or wherever, but I know on Video Music Box, that was something. And Big Daddy Kane at the time, I mean, with School Lover and Scrap Lover, and that sample from Ain't No Half Steppin', and that whole record, the Raw remix, the Just Rhyming with Biggs song, the Word to the Motherland, And his whole style and the way he flowed and he would go fast and his wordplay. I mean, without Big Daddy Kane and without Long Live the Kane, there is no Jay-Z the rapper. He'll be the first to tell you that.
Yeah, yeah. You know, yo, first thing you notice about that album and back in the days, it's just that brother had talent. You know what I'm saying? Like, it, you can hear pure talent. This is 1987.
Yo, 88, it dropped.
Just pure talent. A wordsmith, crisp diction, rocking the mic, good beats. It was very simple. It came out. Everybody loved it. I had it rocking on the Walkman because, you know, Walkman all the time, man. Brooklyn dude, Best Eye. Of course, man. This is like an icon in music, Big Daddy Kane. So, of course, we love that album, man. Just talent.
The talent, and you know, the thing about it is he mixed the consciousness, he mixed the fun, he mixed just the bullshit, and you know, like the Just Rhyming with Biz song is just a bull, like, that's not like a song, that's just like them freestyling, bullshitting around, you know, and then the King Age, he was dropping knowledge, it was like, you don't have to just be one thing, and like his voice, and then he had, you know, like the dark skin sex symbol shit, and he was talking about that, and I mean, the Raw remix, Raw, R-A-W, is... that shit is Hall of Fame. That's everything.
Even if you didn't like hip-hop or you didn't know about rap music and you put that on, you put Raw on, and you put stuff like that on, you could appreciate the talent, the breath control, flowing with the beat, all that, all the grabbing words, all that stuff. You could appreciate that. This is why these guys... are revered now as time moves on because you appreciate it in comparison to what we have today.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, somebody posted a thing with like the records that came out in 1988, just 1988.
Oh,
10 records. And I saw it, aside from Ain't No Half Steppin', which came out in 1988. In 1988, Time to Set It Straight. Word, I'm ready. The Public Enemy record, Ultra Magnetic MCs, Critical Beatdown, Straight Outta Compton, which was, obviously, that doesn't need no introduction. Jungle Brothers, Straight Out the Jungle, one of my favorite records of all time. Children's Story by Slick Rick. Boogie Down Productions, By Any Means Necessary. EPMD, Strictly Business. Eric B. and Rakim's record came out. Follow the Leader. And even DJ... Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince, better known now as Will Smith, all this came out in 1 year. So when you hear us complaining and you hear us saying our standards are high, don't blame us. Blame 1988 because I take those 10 records that I just named and put them against anything that's been released in the last 15 years, and I guarantee you those 10 records stand up against anything.
Yeah, and you notice it's all different. They're all varieties. Now... Everybody's the same. It's all varieties. De La Soul was in that thing too. So
damn,
we're missing so many.
Oh yeah, that's just 10,
right?
And we're not fact checking. We're not breaking the rule number one of the Iron Rapport Stereo, but we're not fact checking.
And none of that shit was mainstream, right?
And aside from NWA was cursing a lot, and Slick Rick, you know, he was in and out of curse because he was playing around. The majority of these records have very, like EPMD had to, I mean, they're not vulgar. You know, NWA, obviously, they changed the whole game.
Right.
But these are not like, you know, records you can't play.
Cursing for the sake of cursing. It's not like that back in the days in 88, 89, 87, all that stuff. It was just like totally different. But yo, like I said, I don't hate on these new dudes. I'm just saying in comparison, yo, my standard is fly rhymes, man, and funky beats. I'll never get off that.
Me neither. All right, well, Miles, take us out of the show here with a little Raw, Big Daddy Kane underneath here. I just want to say a shout out to all the guys that were on that plane. Ryan Hollins. I've heard from some people that were actually on the plane that I don't know because it's been all over the news. Baron Davis. My man Mike Hill, of course, Big Baby Davis, all the Fox people. That was something that we will never forget. This is Michael Rapport, a.k.a. the White Wesley Snipes, signing off from me and G Moody, whose last name rhymes with duty. This is an emergency I Am Rapport Stereo podcast. We're going to put this out on premium right away and then share it on our regular thing, but we'll wait a couple of days to do that. I want to make sure that we hit our premium people first. Because you guys are the hardest of the hard body karate I Am Rapport Stereo podcast fan. Moody, you got anything else to say, my friend?
No. Shout out to Brooklyn, Big Daddy K. What up, Best Eye?
And next time I see you and I fly with you, please bring, make sure we bring the baby oil, have your mouthpiece, and I expect your chest hair not to be groomed.
Yo, it's gonna be nappy for the flight.
All right, peace. Cash money, 'cause I get raw.
when I'm at your service. Give me that title, boy. You don't deserve this. I work like a slave to become a master. And when I say a rhyme, you know that it has to be perfectly fitted, cause I'm committed. The entertainer and trainer and Kane are getting with it. I go and blow and grow to let you know I damage you. I'm not an amateur, but a professional, a questioner without doubt, superb. So full of action, my name should be a verb. My voice will float on every note. When I clear my throat, that's all she wrote. The minute that the cane starts to go on, believe it's gonna be smooth sailing, so on. As I put other rappers out of their misery, get them in a battle and make them all history. Ruling and schooling, and see that I'm dueling. Watch them all take a fall as I sit back cooling on my throne with the bronze microphone. God bless the child that can hold his own, cause I can roar.